Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
Well, gentlemen, it's going to be another fun one today. We've got so much to talk about, but before we get into anything, I just have to explain. If you're wondering why I'm making a lot of groans and moans today, it's because I went golfing with my dad. I played 18 holes. I look a little bit red. It's also because I got a little sun, but I did wear sunscreen. Always wear your sunscreen. And I did the best out of all of us that were playing there. So I had the best game out of everybody. So I'm pretty happy about it. But
not always a competition, Joe.
Well, between my dad and I, it's always a competition. And he's, you know, as competitive as he is, he tends to say things like, I'm not trying to compete with anybody but myself. And, of course, he's always upset by the end of the game. So
he sits there like counting your strokes, yeah, make sure you give him the right number.
He said to me at the end of the game, he goes, I don't want to know what my score is. And I was the one keeping score. So, but it was myself, my dad, my cousin Gord, and my nephew, Eva, who is very new to golf. He's 13. And he had a great game, too. He kind of kept up with my dad in terms of score. So, you know, it was a fun time.
I was going to say, you guys must not have gone with Reg.
No. My dad's friend Reg is literally a pro.
He's so good.
So good at golf.
He's like 80 years old and he could beat all of us.
Insane. Yeah.
Like no problem whatsoever.
We actually went in honor of my grandfather, my papa, who passed away. We had a celebration of life on Monday, and we thought it would be a kind of a cool way to honor him. And it's something we used to all do together with him. So, so it was a fun time. I got a lot of sun, and I'm a little sore, but...
Where'd you play?
We went to Cottonwood Golf Course up at the airport.
Eva played Cottonwood?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm curious, are you able to divulge what you shot?
I shot a 95.
That's very good.
It's a good score for me. I know a lot of people who are going like, 95, come on, bro. But for me, like, it was very consistent. I shot fives and sixes, fours, fives and sixes. I shot a seven on the last hole, which was not my favorite. But, you know, that's double bogey. It's a par five.
Oh,
so.
Man. I shot a 10 on that hole 2 weeks ago.
Today. Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
last hole, I shot a 10. No word of a lie. And a lot of it was because it's one of those ones we talked about last week or the week before, where it gets in your head and you have one bad shot, like your first tee off shot's terrible, your next four shots are also terrible.
To be honest, our biggest problem today specifically wasn't so much our golf game. Like my dad would say, you know, it's all in your head, which is true. It's very much in your head. But we had, it was like ladies club, like a ladies like league or whatever,
yeah,
who were kind of pushing us from behind. And there was a team in front of us who were going really slow. So we're like urged to go faster, from behind. And the like course marshal came up to us and said, you guys got to keep going, keep moving, because these guys are, you know, you're slowing everybody else down. When it wasn't us that was slowing everybody down, it was the league people in front of us who were slowing us down.
So Nicole Tarnaski from behind you didn't come at you and threaten to throw you in the pond or what?
It was a little frustrating for my dad for sure, because he's like, now I feel the pressure. It's thrown my game way off. And so we don't get a chance to really get in the zone to like focus on the shot and stuff like that. Yeah. But we still had a good time. We had a lunch after and everything. So it was like we made a day of it, and it was a good time.
I'm so confused by, if there was people ahead of you, why were they pushing you to go faster if you couldn't go anywhere?
I don't think the marshal knew that there were people ahead of us that were going slow. Oh. And again, I think they were picking on us because we weren't part of the league. Right. So it's like you need to keep the league happy, because these are the guys who have memberships and all that stuff that they got to pay for. So golf is a funny one.
Blame it on the golf course. Says, you know what? You had your tee off time. That's how it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the case. Right. But, you know, we were a little slower because my nephew is new to the game.
Yeah.
You know, but what we were doing is we're saying, OK, well, if that's the case, he can pick up his ball. If he doesn't hit a good shot or whatever, he'll pick it up and catch up to the guy who's, you know, one of us who's like kind of further back or whatever, and make it fair for everybody. And, you know, he had a great time, too. And yeah, it was fun. Like, I'm going to feel it tomorrow when I wake up, but I it's my first time out in a year. So, I mean, I did the pitch and putt course last week. With you guys. but for me, this was like 18 holes. It was like a full game. We were there for like 4 hours.
Did you guys
like
walk
that.
It?
No, we took the golf carts.
I mean,
there,
that's long, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's any consolation, I mean, I shot 112.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago with a 10, and I think I even had a 9 on the front nine as well.
Yeah.
One of the guys that I golfed with out of the four of us, he literally has a membership and golfs every weekend there, and he shot 91.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, 95 is not bad.
No, me. I'm very happy with it. It's honestly, it's one of my best scores at any course, let alone, you know, that one. So I'm very happy with it. I definitely want to go back and play again now. But it is very pricey. It is very pricey.
I can believe it.
But, you know, that being said, gentlemen, we've got so much to talk about when it comes to the world of sports, the wide world of sports. Why don't we talk a little bit about the NBA finals? We talked about the NHL finals last week. Let's talk about the NBA finals. OKC does it again. Or does it, I guess, not again, but does it.
Well, you know, OKC, oh, Canada, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's pretty cool, man. I don't know.
Like, I feel like you rehearsed that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it on the way down. Yeah, how am I going to do this? OKC?
Oh, Canada.
I didn't really know much about SGA until this year. I really, like, has he had, like, was this year above and beyond any other year that he's played so far? Like, I don't know. Is this his fourth year in the league?
No, he's been around for a while. I'm pretty sure this is closer to his, like, his seventh or eighth
okay,
year.
Okay.
He's been getting noticed the last few years. Like, even the last 2 years, he's been in the possibility of MVP talk. Like, he's been getting good points and stuff like that. He was part of the Paul George trade to send George to the Clippers.
Okay.
And so there's been talk about him having the ability to maybe be one of the best in the world, but, you know, still growing his game while he was in OKC. And this year, last year, he was definitely an MVP conversation. This year, like, he was above and beyond, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, he proved it, right? He took the league MVP honors. He took the final MVP honors, by the way, as we said, Oklahoma City Thunder winning the championship. It took seven games. But he won the playoff MVP. I believe he got the players voted MVP where he's the top. So, you know, definitely when I say, oh, Canada, like, to have one of our star talents next to guys like Steve Nash, you can say Andrew Wiggins being a first overall pick and so on, to have, you know, have a player from Canada getting noticed, and certainly the Raptors having influenced Canadian players over the last couple of decades.
It's exciting. I mean, you know, I've been hearing a lot. We talked about it, I think, last week, even in the impact that women's hockey is having on women in the country. 115,000 or something like that women have signed up for hockey because of the PWHL. Nice. You know that sport, basketball, has an influence on Canadian kids in wanting to pursue something that they enjoy doing. I played basketball as a kid. When the Grizzlies were in Vancouver, that was a huge influence for me in wanting to play. I had, you know, I'm 5'9", so it's never going to happen. But I had dreams of, like, one day being, you know, a point guard in the NBA, you know? But it's kind of cool. I know, it's funny to talk about.
No, it's not. I'm laughing for a different reason. Yeah. I'm laughing because when I was in high school and I was on, like, the grade 10 basketball team, and I used to play basketball every lunch hour, I'd show up to third period sweaty as heck every day, and everybody's like, finally, after a couple of years, they got it. Yeah. My classmates were like, oh, playing basketball again? Like, I just loved it, right? Just loved it. But by, like, 16 years old, I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm not going to make it to the NHL. I hate football. I love baseball, but I'm not going to make it there. I just don't have the build
or
skill
for it. Not a soccer
player,
yeah. Same thing.
Maybe I can still make the NBA. Like, 16 years old, right? Not going to happen. Yeah. I mean, I'm 5'4", so.
Yeah, totally, yeah. No, it's funny, but that's just, I think that's the power room influence when it comes down to it. Like, when you have, and I mean, with the, you know, the Raptors winning the championship in, what was that, 2019?
Yep.
You got to think that that's heavily influenced on those kids too, and making them go, like, if they can do it, so can I, you know. And I'm sure Shai, you know, I know he was around at that point, but I'm sure that was a huge influence on him on getting better in the NBA, right? Yep. So.
Well, and, you know, like, the type of year that he had led to an amazing contract extension for him. He signed for 4 years, $285 million. So he's making over $71 million a year for the next 4 years.
And what's the highest contract in the NHL right now?
I believe it's McDavid. Or no, not
no,
that anymore.
It'll be
it's,
Matthews this year.
I was going to say, it's got to be Matthews, right?
13. Dreisaitl starting next year at $14
million. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's 13.5 for Matthews this year.
So that just goes to show McDavid's up for contract next year. That's going to be like a $17 million contract.
The Edmonton
17.
Still, in NHL equivalency, it's the same, right?
The Edmonton Oilers' entire top nine don't equal that one.
The
player.
One contract.
that's actually terrifying. How is that a thing? How have contracts gone that far off the map, it seems to me?
It's revenue, right? The three, I mean, the NHL is considered part of the four major leagues, but it's the least revenue generating league
in the U.S.
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
And that's specifically for like broadcasting TV rights,
totally
as well. Like, and I alluded to it last summer. I think right at the end of summer when we were in Seattle watching the Jays play, I couldn't find hockey news anywhere.
And it's funny you talk about, you know, this is, we're kind of going off on a tangent at this point, but it's funny you talk about broadcasting rights because today, Sportsnet announced today they're raising the prices of Sportsnet Plus to subscribers. So it's gone up $90 extra a month for people to subscribe to Sportsnet Plus. People are not happy about
that.
It.
Can't be a month. That
no,
can't
no,
be.
A year. Sorry, oh. $90 a year. So I think it was like $249 a year, and now it's like $390 plus. You know, above that. So
that means center ice is probably going up too.
I would imagine people are not happy about it. They're like, what am I paying for here? I'm paying for 10 second or ten. What is it? They said like 10 second delays, black screens. Blackouts, and is it worth it anymore? People are talking about just pirating games now, just to be able to watch. Well,
I saw a video not too long ago on YouTube that was talking about Canada in regards to how small, I guess, the scope is in terms of corporations, and that there's not a ton of competition between whether it's food markets, whether it's entertainment markets, even gas markets. Why you're seeing the prices gouge up as high as they are is because there's no competition to battle against in terms of price matching, you can set the price to whatever you want.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, that's what a lot of these corporations are doing. They're doing it because they can, not because they have to, but because they can. And that's the thing that's making most consumers upset, because it's like we already have to pay more for every little thing. There's no way it costs you more money to broadcast this game. Maybe man hours or whatever, you got to pay your employees more or whatever, but they should take away from the people that are profiting the most, so that the people who are literally spending their hard-earned dollars aren't having to spend more of their hard-earned dollars and less to feed their kids and less to do all this and that. Vote for me, I'm going to be your next prime minister. But geez,
the hard workers don't make as much salary as the senior people. So they let the senior people go.
That's right.
And pay lower salary to the people that are hungry.
Exactly.
Vicious cycle.
It is a vicious cycle, and a lot of companies don't follow that cycle properly, right? And that's the thing I think that we're seeing people complain about. So, going back to our discussion on the NBA, I mean, ultimately what it comes down to is that their revenues are much higher when it comes to the American viewership versus everywhere else, right?
Yeah, and like I said, that's how you get to those kind of contracts. And certainly, if you look at this, apparently this NBA Finals, I didn't get to see much of it, but apparently it's been one of the more exciting ones that's been in quite a while.
In terms of viewership and all that, yeah.
And, like I said, it was tight, too. Like, even Pascal Siakam at the end of the series after the Thunder won, he didn't talk to the media right away, because I guess he had like literally exhausted himself, and but he had kind of put out a post afterwards, saying that not the ending that he wanted, but he said it was a heck of a run for Indy. I feel bad for Indiana next year. One of the surprise players for the playoffs, Halliburton, is going to be out for the entire year next year.
He's Canadian too, is he not?
No, you're thinking of Mathurin, Benedict Mathurin.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, Halliburton was the one who, like, he tore his ACL or something like that, right? Oh, and an ACL injury, even when he does come back, he could be much worse as a player.
He may never return to that form. Yeah.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah.
Poor guy,
That's too bad.
But, if we're going to talk about, up-and-coming stars, the NBA draft actually was recent, too. We won't go over the whole draft. We'll focus on the Canadian side, so we'll focus on the Raptors. Obviously, a lot of us Raptors fans wanted the Raptors to get the first overall pick. That did fall to the Dallas Mavericks.
Were they worse in the league to get to that point?
No, I think they were 14th, and they jumped out 13 spots, okay. I believe it was. So they did good. They traded away, obviously, Doncic to the Lakers, which, again, a lot of people were really ticked about that. But obviously, this is good compensation to get the top draftee in the draft, and Cooper Flagg. I would have loved to have seen Flagg on the Raptors, but, the guy that they picked was a bit of a surprise pick. So a lot of, because Masai Ujiri was involved with basketball in Africa, a lot of people were expecting the Raptors to pick Kamen Maliwach, who was part of that whole program. Mm-hmm. And Maliwach was actually expected to go between 5, 6, or 7 and fell to the Raptors' number 9 pick, and the Raptors didn't pick him. And a lot of the videos I saw, reactions were like, why didn't you pick Maliwach? He's like Ujiri's guy. He's perfect. They picked a guy named Colin Murray Boyles.
We talked about this last pod too.
What his reaction?
Yeah,
when he was drafted.
Yeah, we're using the F word after he'd been picked, and all the controversy behind that. He, from what I can see of interviews since the draft, he actually looks pretty happy to be.
Got to clean up his act a little bit.
White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt made a phone call.
Well, and, you know, maybe it's because he's picked before a guy named Coward. You know, there was a Coward in the draft. So, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of people that were saying, why didn't you pick Maliwach? But I've seen some of his highlight videos since, and he is a very strong two-way player, and that's what the Raptors have been mainly focusing on.
You're talking about the guy they picked versus Maliwach.
So Colin Murray Boyles over Maliwach. Maliwach has got the size. He's got the board perimeter ability to be a good scorer, maybe like Shaquille O'Neal almost. But Murray Boyles is got the full 200 game and he's a bit smallish on the power forward side, but nonetheless can play power forward or center.
He's definitely not a long range shooter.
No.
But yeah, they were raving about his defense for sure. I do know that after Masai was let go, literally, I mean, I'm sure you'll get into a little bit, but like right after the draft, he told Pelly, CEO of Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. He basically told them, he said, and I mean, it's kind of cool that he even, rather than say, screw you, buddy, but he actually said to me, you know, that guy I just picked, that Murray Boyles, he's, look out for him. He's going to be something. Yeah. He's going to be something special. So, and I mean, Masai's drafted pretty well before. I mean, so maybe he knew something or knows something everybody else doesn't, but yeah, I mean, hopefully it's a good one.
Well, especially,
you have to say it was a little bittersweet though for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially when it comes to like 200-foot players, he has done really well in regards. It's Bobby Webster's the GM, but Masai obviously had his input in the decisions for the Raptors when it came to the draft. Like, you can't really, you know, go wrong in terms of the players that they picked in the past, whether it's Pascal Siakam, he was like a 26th overall pick.
Yeah.
OG Anunoby, I believe, was like the 28th overall pick in his draft. The guy they got last year, Keandre Walter, I believe it is. Slow start, but again, at the end of the season when the Raptors started to win quite a few games, he was very much involved in that process of them winning games. So he's looking like a good player, and he's kind of a shooting guard, you know, small forward type. So
Jacoby Walter.
What's thank that? You. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, like they are looking like a team that could contend again, maybe not next year, but it's not looking too far down the road.
Nice.
So
now I say it was bittersweet because of course Masai Ujiri, no longer with the Raptors as of, was it the draft?
It was literally like 12 hours after the draft was over.
The whole draft. So he drafted the whole draft.
Yep.
And then they said, thanks, but, you know, you're done.
Wonder why.
Apparently it was a mutual, I guess, parting. I don't know how mutual it might have been. I don't think Masai wanted to go, to be honest.
Yeah.
But
I would believe that. And Pelly said within a day or two that they're not going to replace him. They're not going to hire a president for the Raptors.
Yeah.
Right.
At least not right now.
Not right now.
But they have hired a GM.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's the same GM. Bobby Webster.
He
was already the GM.
See? I always thought Ujiri was the guy.
They extended Bobby Webster.
I see. So.
Yeah, Ujiri was president.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So kind of like Jim Rutherford in Vancouver, there's always the president and then the GM.
Yep.
But Ujiri, as the president, was making the decisions all along, or is the GM influencing those decisions?
There's a lot of talk that certainly Bobby Webster was the mastermind behind quite a few things that were done, including the Kawhi deal. But yeah, Masai has been known to be a very smart and very influential NBA executive around the league. So, you know, they're going to lose a little bit of that star power, I guess, that Masai had in the organization. But I do kind of trust Bobby Webster in regards to what's going to happen with the future. Like I said, if the team is starting to shape the way that it is right now, and they're making those kind of low risk, high reward moves like Luke Brandon Ingram, you can't not be a little excited. Sad to see Masai go. Like I said, he brought the city a championship, right? Yeah.
So. I mean, and he's done so much for like international basketball, right? He's quite the ambassador for that. So,
yeah, and like Masai loved Toronto. Like even his parting words were, "Toronto, Canada, I love you, the country that welcomed me, the city that became home. This bond we will share and last forever. As I look back at more than a decade of heartfelt moments, I'm overwhelmed with the gratitude for my family, our incredible players, and the dedicated staff of Raptor fans. Now a new chapter begins, but your love will always be with me. Basketball brought me here, but beyond the beautiful game, we're always connected, and for that, I am so thankful."
Okay, now tell me how you feel about Mitch Marner's goodbye message. I'm kidding. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Wrong answer, Joe.
I just, you know, it's funny.
He when had his foot out the door the last 2 years.
I know he did.
I liked Marner as a player, but as a human being, I'm a little
Well, you and all other Leaf fans, right?
Yeah.
Hockey free podcast. We're not talking about Mitch Marner. I got to say, though, and I'm just going to get this tidbit in there because we have a podcast. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Hell yeah.
But it bugs me so much. What's bugging Brando? I'm going to tell you. When people are referred to as like Toronto, Canada. Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Regina, Canada.
Like forgetting the province.
Yet if it's the U.S., it's Las Vegas, Nevada.
Nevada.
It's not Las Vegas, USA. We have provinces, people. Yep. We have locations, too. You know what
it stems from, though, ultimately? It stems from those people in the United States who don't want to learn the geography.
Oh, I'm well aware. I just wasn't going to say that, but thank you.
It's very true. And you know, there's people on YouTube who have channels dedicated to, like, discovering Canada and discovering, like, information about Canada. And they're all Americans who don't know anything because they don't literally aren't taught anything outside of the United States.
Yeah.
And it's very true. So hopefully if you're an American and you're watching this podcast, you know we think it's important that you learn about Canada.
I probably know more to U.S. geography than they do.
Yeah, very true.
Well, and we're talking about Bobby Webster in regards to taking over. He's already done some things that are already improving the Raptors. A lot of people weren't happy for the Jakob Poeltl a couple of years ago trade that to get him from San Antonio, where we gave up a protective pick, but it was only a top 6 protective pick, and unfortunately the Raptors fell a little bit in the draft, and so San Antonio got that pick. In the end, they still picked okay. Like I said, Jacoby Walter was a good pickup. So he's re-signed him to a 4-year extension at $104 million for the entire 4 years. Poeltl is considered actually probably a top 10 center in the league in terms of his rebound ability.
Yeah.
And he actually has kind of carved out a bit of shooting on the interior as well. So there, when I say there's stuff to be excited about with the Raptors, there really is. They've got basically their starting lineup when you're looking at it next year will be Emmanuel Quickly, RJ Barrett as shooting guard, Emmanuel Quickly as their point guard, Scotty Barnes at small forward, Brandon Ingram at power forward, and then you got Poeltl down the middle. And a lot of people would consider that a good lineup. Will they make the playoffs? There's no guarantee, but again, they're up and coming, right?
They need more pieces, basically.
They do. And they did sign some guys. They at least the one big guy that they signed was Sandrew. Now, forgive me with the name here because this is a hard one. Mamu Kalashvili.
Come on, Sandrew, you don't know that one?
Sandrew Mamu Kalashvili.
I'll give you credit for that.
That's not an easy one to say.
It sounds right.
Bless you.
Yeah. Literally. He does have a really good three-point shot, and that's something that the Raptors have been kind of missing. They kind of have it with Grady Dick, but...
Brandon Ingram will help with that, I think.
Yeah.
Grady Dick is an excellent three-point shooter, but he doesn't get a lot of... I was about to say ice time. he doesn't get a lot of floor time, you know? Yeah, it's so... I guess we'll see. I wonder if they'll do something else before the season. I don't really see the need necessarily yet.
Yeah.
Especially because you don't know what you've got in Brandon Ingram. He might come out on fire, or he may be toast still. Mm-hmm. Like, you just know he could play 4 games and be injured again.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll wait to play their hand to see what they've got. But...
I am interested to see how Murray Boyles does. Like I said, the highlight video from him, he spaces the floor really good. Again, not a great outside shot, but he is very strong on the inside. Hmm. And he's a really good rebounder. If you watch him battle for the ball, 95% of the battles he was winning.
Lefty, too.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Fair.
So I see you're wearing your Blue Jays shirt today. You know, keeping things in Toronto, we are going to avoid hockey talk for today. But we'll go with the Blue Jays. So let's talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. The Blue Jays are on a bit of a heater right now, right?
It just literally ended.
Just ended,
As we're recording this podcast. But they did go on a 10-game winning streak.
That's incredible. Considering where we were at, I remember it was literally like, what, 3 pods ago? And you were saying stuff about the Blue Jays needing to get hotter at bat. And that's exactly what they did.
That's,
so I think maybe exactly what it comes down to it is Brandon needs to be the guy coaching this team. So what does this team need, Brandon? They just need to start hitting some balls.
Yeah, Vladdy, pick it up, buddy.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't really... you'd think when they win 10 games and some of those games, the margins of different like run differential that they were winning by,
mm-hmm.
you'd just got to say, oh, yeah, there's got to be – the big guys must have been coming out to play. I mean, not really.
Yeah.
The guy that's kind of led the way is George Springer.
Wow.
For the most part, at the plate anyway. Now, Alejandro Kirk's, again, another player, and you don't really expect a higher average hitting catcher that often these days.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you probably got that more in the 80s and 90s than you do now. A lot of the time your catcher is almost wasted as just a pure defensive position these days, and intelligence and IQ. But Alejandro Kirk, I mean, he's voted into the All-Star game. He's not going to be starting, but that's an excellent thing for him. Second time All-Star.
Nice.
And he's kind of helping lead the way too. Clutch hits.
Are they currently first in the league? I know they Division. Were.
First in the division.
I thought it was the league, to be honest. I thought I overheard that they were first in the league.
No, Detroit.
Yeah, they've been on fire, too.
Just on fire from the
entire year, yeah.
Yeah.
But, they swept the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Yankees were the team. So, I think heading into the Yankees series, which was the one before the Whites, they just played the White Sox,
mm-hmm.
and they won 2 out of 3 against the White. 2 out of 3? Against the White Sox?
3 out of 4.
3 out of 4 against the White Sox. So they had 2 4-game series in a row. Prior to that was the Yankees. Going into that series, I think they were two and a half games back of the division lead.
Wow.
And they swept the Yankees and then won 3 out of 4 against the White Sox. And then they had won the 3 previous games before that.
Nice.
Yeah, that's against incredible. The Angels.
They swept the Angels too.
So they just got to keep this up. They just got to keep this momentum going for the rest of the season.
Well, and it's the great thing about the Blue Jays this year is that again, I've been clamoring about this, that everyone needs to show up, and everyone is showing up for the team. And considering the injuries that they've had to, like, their farm has really shown, I guess, their worth. I guess if you looked at the beginning of the year, they probably would have ranked their farm probably around 20th in league. Looking at how the farm players are playing now, like top 5 almost, wow. You have to say, because everyone's contributing, and they're doing it well.
Their biggest offseason signing, Anthony Santander, however you want to say that, he hasn't contributed at all.
Wow.
He's been injured for 3/4 of the season so far. And he was their big acquisition, and he hasn't done anything. He was supposed to be another power bat in the lineup. He's a switch hitter.
Maybe he'll be a big influence or difference in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, and I mean, yeah. trade deadline's approaching. I mean, I'm curious to see what they're going to do. It's going to be they're going to do something.
Yeah.
But as Paul was saying, it's by committee, which is nice to see because you haven't really seen that. I mean, you probably haven't seen that because the Jays haven't been a very good team for a few years now. But as they're winning, you've got the winning formula of everybody contributing. And I would say, Paul, I still don't think that they're firing on all cylinders completely through their roster. And I mean, pitching's hot, the bats are okay. The bats are hot, pitching's okay to barely okay.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think that all of those things are clicking at the same time.
No.
Not for an extended period.
It's been, to be honest, I could say probably over the last 2, maybe even 3 decades, that seems to be the case. It's one or the other. It's never been both at the same time. And that's, I think, what's kind of debunked the Jays as being a complete powerhouse. If they could get it all together at once, I think they would be a powerhouse. And they are playing like a powerhouse right now. It's mid-season. We'll have to see how the later half of the season goes after the trade deadline. But, you know, like I said, if they can bring it all together, I think they do need at least another starter. It was definitely a help for Max Scherzer to come back off of the injury list. And he's pitched well. I wouldn't say it's been amazing, but he's pitched the way that you need a starting pitcher to pitch. But I still think they need another starter, or at least somebody that can come in and play starter-type minutes.
So when is the trade deadline for Major League?
July 31st.
Okay, so the end of July. And you guys told me something when it comes to Major League Baseball that I didn't know, which is that they also have the draft midseason, right? What does that look like for the Blue Jays specifically? Like, typically, what does that look like for them?
So Blue Jays this year, they have the eighth pick. The eighth overall pick in the draft.
And this is due to last year's results, correct?
Last year's results. So top 10 pick, which is good. And they've fared decently on some top 10 picks. They had something Martin. I think it was Austin Martin.
That was a couple of seasons ago. They traded him.
Yeah, and they traded him for Jose Berríos.
Yes.
In that deal.
To the Twins.
And he's been kind of good and bad for the Twins. He hasn't really kind of found his game exactly yet. But again, a player that they really wanted, that the Twins really wanted in the Berríos deal. And Berríos was one of the better pitchers that season.
He was drafted as a shortstop. I think he's been playing the outfield.
For them since he's been with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In mock drafts right now, they kind of have the Blue Jays picking a guy named Jamie Arnold. He's a left-hander out of Florida State. That they're expecting that if he fell down that the Blue Jays would take him just because, again, left-handed pitcher. He's got pretty good fastball, mid-90s mile-per-hour fastball. And this year he's got an under 3 ERA for Florida State right now.
It's dangerous. Don't draft Southern Americans. They can't handle the Canadian cold, man.
Vancouver Grizzlies fans know that all too well. Big country.
If he can do what Nate Pearson did but have control, I'd be happier for that guy.
Yeah.
What you want is you want the next Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
You can never go wrong drafting pitchers. No. You can never have enough. You can never have enough because it's a roll of the dice with every single one of them.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Like I said, it would be interesting to see how things go. I don't know how many picks they have in that draft. I do know. I think their next pick after number 8 is 81. And I saw this today, I guess there was a team, I think it was Tampa, that traded a player for a draft pick. I didn't even know that you do that in baseball, but apparently you can.
They traded a player for a draft pick
in the upcoming draft.
Right.
I didn't know you could do that in baseball. I thought you could only trade for actual prospects after the pick.
Oh, I never really thought about that.
So that was a bit of a surprise to me. I was not expecting that. Talk a little bit about Blue Jays outside of the draft. We were talking about the All-Star game. I did want to mention this, but we kind of jumped ahead a little bit. This, for Vladdy, is his fifth straight All-Star game, which, you know,
interesting.
He's, I guess, showing some of the value in terms of his contract, being a five-time All-Star in a row.
Very little of his value right now. I'm sorry, I'm crapping on him, but he's an excellent player, but he's a little behind what he should be doing. Anyway.
Yep, I don't disagree.
He's a great first baseman, though.
Yeah.
Like, you can't take that away from him. I mean, he was drafted as a third baseman when they picked him up. Actually, he was signed out internationally, I think. I don't even think that he was drafted.
Vladdy?
I do believe that he was signed as an international free agent very, very young.
He was, yeah.
Like 16 years old.
And again, trying to pick players that could be potential All-Stars, ones that were, you know, picked out of the draft. We look at a guy like Addison Barger was picked by the Blue Jays. I believe he was late, like a 12th round pick or something like that. And the guy's got power to boot. You put him in the outfield, he's leading the league in outfield assists this year. He's only played, I think, like 69 games in the outfield or something like that.
he might have one of the most powerful arms I've ever seen.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
and that includes pitchers.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's nuts.
Compared to, like, outfielders. Outfielders can have some really powerful arms.
He must not be married because there's no way he has time to play baseball, work out as much as he must, and still have a home life. Like, this guy's upper body is larger than mine, believe that or not. I don't know how that's possible, but it's just, like, muscle. He's just meat.
Cut to the wide shot there so everyone can see.
Yeah, the wide shot. Thanks a lot, Jill. Yeah, you're fired.
It's hard to make this comparison, but if he keeps his trajectory going for the next 2 or 3 years, in my opinion, he could be almost like the next Mike Trout.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. It's funny you say that because there was a rumor the Jays might try to trade for Mike Trout. I don't know how, but...
Don't give up Barger.
No.
I will stop being a fan.
Give up who?
Barger for
Trout. Barger, no way. No, no thanks.
Well, what's it going to take to get a guy like Mike Trout?
Oh, lots.
Or Elvis.
Lots. No. Yeah. Jays, no. Just stop. Don't listen to Paul.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Roll with the punches. Honestly, if I were to say if they're going to upgrade, I would try to find a way to do it somehow as a depth signing. Like, I know they need a starter, but I don't think they need to go get a 1-2 guy. Get a 4-5 guy that's quality, can stay healthy for the most part, barring a freak accident.
Of course.
But their depth is coming through and showing now. Don't trade that away.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 1 to 4 prospects right now that are all in the top 150 in baseball. And I mean, how many prospects there are in baseball? Like 800?
Yeah.
They make this list kind of thing out of all the people, because you draft a lot of players, right? You have a 25-man roster.
Yeah.
But some of the players that they've been drafting and have been developing are this close. And that's not including the players that are playing in depth roles right now on the team. So I don't know. I don't want them to sacrifice that development. And these players like Aurelvis Martinez, I think he's almost 23 now, which as a star player in the MLB, that's a little bit late as kind of an up-and-coming player that you're going to start to make a name for yourself. Like, he's kind of got to get in now.
Mm-hmm.
But he screwed himself with the suspension last year for PEDs.
Yeah.
So he missed half the year in AAA.
Well, you mentioned the looking at like the 3, 4, or 5 starter. There is rumors of them possibly looking to get a guy like Chris Paddock from the Minnesota Twins, signed a 3-year deal back in 2023. Doesn't have the greatest ERA; it's 4.64, but apparently his pitches look really good. They're right around the zone all the time.
Hmm.
Would be probably not too expensive to acquire him. Hopefully none of the top 5 or 6 picks or prospects that the Blue Jays have. I'd be interested in that deal if it is the right price.
Yeah, absolutely. Any more info on the Blue Jays before we move on?
Again, just look at surprise players this year. They obviously traded away Gabriel Moreno in the Varsho deal, which I still never liked that deal. Albeit Varsho is a good player, I just didn't like that deal the moment I saw it.
And he's not playing.
Yep, and he's not playing. And
he's not playing. He's one of their better outfielders too.
Moreno was star player for the Arizona, making that run to the World Series 2 years ago.
I think he was an All Star last year too.
Yeah,
Moreno was.
I never liked them giving them Moreno for Varsho. But in terms of backup catchers, they traded with Jansen, however you want to pronounce his name. Tyler Heineman, who was, I guess, their third or fourth stringer last year, is again playing lights out and is a switch hitter as well, which, you got guys showing up at the right time. So, probably positionally, I don't think they have position players. They don't really have a whole lot that they need to acquire. It is, I think, just their pitching that they're most concerned of. You do have a guy like Braden Fisher, 24-year-old. He got called up, Blue Jays pick. He's causing guys to get let go, like Swanson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Swanson was a big part of the Teoscar Hernandez deal and got let go to keep a guy like Braden Fisher on the team.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at a player like Ernie Clement, who is just one of those utility guys who can literally play anywhere, you got to have that guy on your roster because he can do anything. He could probably backcatch.
Mm-hmm.
I think he even said that in an interview jokingly, like, what can't you do? He's like, nothing, I'll backcatch if you want. his bat's so-so. As a third, generally, you'd probably want your third baseman to be a pretty high average hitter if possible, and likely a power hitter, but I mean, you don't get that with Clement. But I'm actually really curious to see if there's going to be anything happen with Bo Bichette before the trade deadline. Yeah. And I mean the subtraction of Bo Bichette.
Yeah.
Because I'll try not to reference it, but I'm going to anyway. You don't want a Mitch Marner situation. Nope. I don't think Bichette wants to be there. So, and he's a free agent after this season.
Yeah.
Send him somewhere else. Bring in that starter. Clement can play shortstop.
If Bichette, if they don't trade him and he does leave in the offseason, they at least get a compensation pick for him.
Right.
So, right. You know, it's not like they're losing completely like the way that they do in the NHL and the NBA, where if you're a UFA, you can walk and there's nothing you get in return. At least with star players in the MLB, yeah, you get that compensation pick. And it's usually a first-round pick.
Is it based upon how much they make in a new contract? Or how do they decide what pick you get?
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah, couldn't tell you that either. It's
interesting.
I think it's based upon a bunch of metrics, to be honest. But, I have no idea.
Because you say, if it's for a star player leaving, then you would think it's based upon like how much money they get, because that would entitle them to be a star player, right?
Exactly.
You know, you're going to get $50 million. Well, okay, he's clearly a star player in that point.
Well, and look who's come back as a star for the Blue Jays. You know, if I see more Springer dingers, I'm going to love this season. He was absolutely awful last year, but he's showing form at 36, I think it is, years old now.
Yeah, he's getting up there. 36.
He's still a young guy.
This year, 3 or 4 of his contract?
I believe this is 4.
4. Out of 6-year or 8-year deal?
I believe it was a 5-year
deal. 5-year deal? Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. Hmm. But, I mean, I think internally they could probably replace Bichette, defensively for sure. Put Barger back at third, have Clement play shortstop. I mean, the depth is there. This is the whole point, right? The depth is there. Mm-hmm. If you can trade away Bichette and get a dump truck full, including a starter, I mean, that could be your ticket right there. Will they do it?
That's the question. $1 million question.
That, I mean, you could look like a fool, too, because Bichette's a great player overall.
Yeah. Yeah, like we've all been clamoring on Adkins for not... Atkins not doing much the last couple of years, I guess, during the offseason, because, you know, he'll be in on everybody but never sign anybody besides Santander, who's not playing. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what would happen at the deadline. I would hope that if they are trading Bichette, that they get a top 3 prospect from a team at least for him, or at least a player-for-player swap in terms of, you know, value both ways, but I don't know. I won't be surprised to see them keep him, because they know that they're getting the compensation pick for him if he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
He did say in an interview, whether it was this year or last year, that he wants to play with Vladdy for the rest of his career. So whether he holds to those words, I guess, you know, we'll see.
We shall see, yeah. Okay, guys, let me ask you a question. Have either of you seen the latest Mission Impossible movie?
I have, yes.
You have not. Let me ask you a question, Brandon. Have you seen any movie recently?
New movie? Not really.
Not really.
Not really. And it's bugging me. It's actually disturbing me a little bit. I tend to find time close to bed to maybe turn on a movie for an hour, and I usually pass out 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I'm finding it hard to locate the time. Let's just say that.
So I'm on holidays right now, vacation from my work. And this last, what was it, 2 nights ago, I watched 3 movies. I took the time and I watched 3 movies. The first one was the new one on Amazon Prime. It's John Cena and Idris Elba.
Heads of State?
Heads of State. Thank you. I saw Heads of State.
It's on my list.
It was good. I enjoyed it. It was good. It's more funny than it is, but there's a lot of action involved, right? And for those of you who don't know, Heads of State is basically John Cena is the president of the United States. Idris Elba is the prime minister of England, and they don't like each other. And then they're forced to work together to like stop some terrorists and stuff like that. It's kind of an interesting story. I feel like I've seen it before in other movies, but like the difference being that it's the president and the prime minister having to work together rather than say like Olympus Has Fallen or any of those movies, but still very entertaining movie. What I would consider a summer blockbuster only for the fact that it's a heavy action movie. The difference being though, is that it didn't go to theaters. It's direct to streaming. Right. So let's talk a little bit about 2025 summer blockbusters, movies that we think are going to be big, maybe that we think are going to be blockbusters this summer. And there's a few that we can probably talk about.
I was actually hoping that after we're done recording tonight and we sit down for dinner, I might be able to convince the wife to watch technically Jurassic Park 4.
Yeah.
Like the first of the new wave, so to speak, you know, like Jurassic World.
Yes.
because I obviously am going to see Jurassic World Rebirth.
Yeah.
But I'd like to rewatch the other, I think there's three. There's
two or three.
Yep.
Other this is the fourth newish one, I believe.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to watch the other three before I watch this one again, just to make sure I'm kind of in tune, because there's a lot of cerebral stuff that happens that you don't notice if you're not paying attention in the movies that I actually think is important.
Yeah. Have you seen it yet, Paul?
Not yet. Okay. Hopefully soon.
I was going to say, from my understanding is that this movie, this Rebirth movie, does not have any of the original cast, correct? Or the original from Jurassic World.
I don't think it does, but I believe the storyline is still a continuation. Yes. Like, you need to kind of know what happened in the other movies
in order to be able to follow along.
Fully make sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson's in this one. I know that for a fact. I don't know any of the other actors in it.
Mahershala Ali is in it.
Yeah, that, I don't know who that is.
Okay, no worries.
Paul just said I don't know who's in it.
Yeah. Like, not saying I don't know. I just mean, like, literally, I don't know who he is.
Lined up to be Blade in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Right. But,
what?
I heard Wesley Snipes tell us that there was never going to be another Blade.
Blade is part of Marvel?
It's not yet.
Oh, yeah.
But he's lined up to be Blade.
Like, the Blade is. I didn't know that as in Marvel. Like, yeah.
No, I had no. Yeah, I've never even seen the Blade movies. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, you've never seen the Blade movies?
No.
Oh, they're quite good. I enjoy them.
Yeah, they're really good.
The third one was filmed in Vancouver. Ryan Reynolds in it, too.
Absolutely.
There's some other huge ones. Like, right now, literally, what is it today? Is the 10th. Starting tomorrow, Superman is in theaters again. This is the James Gunn version, which any of us old, like, I'm a big Superman fan. Like, I've always been a huge Superman fan my whole life. I pretended to be him when I was a child. Christopher Reeve is always going to be Superman, right? And then you got Brandon Routh as Superman, and it was sort of like this, what the hell is this, right? And we had this discussion before about, like, when we think about musical scores and how they affect us. The Superman score is always going to be something that affects me. It actually kind of made me sad when the Zack Snyder Superman movies came out and they never used that score. And it made me feel like I'm missing something, right? Even though Henry Cavill, to me, is an amazing Superman.
He's really good.
And so when we found out that he wasn't going to be Superman and James Gunn's Superman, it was just sort of like, okay, a lot of us are going to just shun this, right? But from what I'm hearing in terms of, like, reviews, because there was an earlier release that they did for streaming on July 7th, which was Monday, but you had to, like, buy exclusive tickets for it. It's like a premiere or whatever. And from what I'm hearing, it's getting a lot of good reviews. So it might be worth checking out. I'm probably going to wait till I can stream it to watch it. Just for the sake of, I don't want to give the theater price, you know, I don't give the theater my money for a movie I never supported in the first place, because I am a Henry Cavill fan. But from what I understand, Henry Cavill is actually supporting this too. So
yeah, it's, if he's supporting, he's got my vote. I've Superman's always been one of my absolute favorite superheroes. Like, I love Marvel, I think, more than I like DC, but if I had to choose my favorite superhero, it probably would be Superman.
Yeah, I think in general, I would agree. Like, I like more of the Marvel superheroes than I do the DC ones, but Superman was always my favorite superhero.
Yeah.
And it's probably because he is the literal Man of Steel, right? Like, there's the only thing that stops him is some radiation from his own planet, so makes sense. But there is another Marvel movie that's coming out soon, and that, of course, is the new Fantastic Four movie, which will have some new actors playing the roles of the Fantastic Four. Have you heard anything about it?
Fantastic Four, the first couple of iterations haven't been that great in regards to the ones that they've done in the past. The one with... what's her name? Kate Mara and... The one that they did after the Jessica Alba ones.
I was going to say, I've only seen the very first one with Jessica Alba, and I always forget his name, but he's the jerk boyfriend in San Andreas.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris Chris Evans.
No.
Are you thinking Ian Grutzfeld or whatever?
He has a weird name, so that's probably the one.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, but Chris Evans was in that. He played Johnny
Chris Evans
Storm.
Was the flame.
Flame on, Johnny flame, Storm.
Johnny, okay, Storm. Johnny Storm, thank you. Yeah, I don't even know their names. There you go.
The flame boy.
Human Torch.
Flame guy.
Human Torch.
Fireman.
The Human Torch.
But look at this one, obviously. I like the cast that they picked. I was surprised that they didn't go with Emily Blunt and John Krasinski because there was a lot of talk about those two being Sue Storm and...
I think the downside to that, though, is that the eras don't match, right? Because this one in particular, this is called First Steps, Fantastic Four, yeah. First Steps, where it takes place in like the 50s, right? 50s or 60s?
Something like that.
And yeah. It's supposed to be very era-based. Even their uniforms are very, very era-based. Totally. So like John Krasinski's Mr. Fantastic uniform doesn't fit that era based on where that works. Maybe they will do a Fantastic Four from his era, considering they're playing with the whole multiverse mentality, you know, thing. Maybe that's a possibility. But I do like the cast, though. Like Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, she's an intriguing actor. I don't know if you're familiar with her at all, but I think she's British, but I've seen her in some of the 007 movies.
Well, and she was in the last two Mission Impossible. So
that's right. Mission Impossible. That's right. And of course, Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic, which is kind of cool.
It's like his summer. He's in three summer movies.
It's like his last couple of years. I mean, you think about like, obviously you start with The Last of Us and how I think that really picked him up, put him on that pedestal. But yeah, he's definitely in everything. For me, it was actually Game of Thrones. That's where I first saw him.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
And
me too.
I thought he was awesome in that. And so it just kind of went from there. But yeah, and then you've got what's his name? Ebon Moss-Bachrach.
Yes.
Who I know him from The Bear.
I know him from Andor.
Yeah. So have you seen The Bear, though?
I haven't, but I've heard it's really good.
Highly recommend.
That's a show, right?
It's a TV show. It's on Disney Plus. You can see it on Disney Plus. I believe it's actually on FX or something, but they air it on Disney Plus, and it's just incredible. You know what's so funny about it? I'm going off on a tangent here for a second, but what's so funny about that show is it actually, this specific season, got really poor reviews. I watched it and I was like, I don't know what people were thinking. The episodes were so powerful, like on a emotional level and on a like storytelling level, just so good. So well written.
It's about a kitchen, is it?
It's more than that. It's about a family specifically, right, and it's about a guy who aspired to be a chef, went to cooking school in like France. Basically, he got, you know, he's a very smart guy, loves cooking, loves, you know, all that stuff. Went to school in France, went to the best kitchens and worked in the best kitchens in the world. Basically, became a 5-star chef. Comes back home because his brother dies, and I don't want to give too much away, but that's in the plot of the story. His brother dies, and he takes over his restaurant that his brother owned and turns it into a 5-star restaurant.
That does sound pretty good.
He's trying to. It's very good. It's so good. And everybody in it is incredible, and there's some big names in this show. You'll see in season 2 specifically, that's where you see all these big names, but like Jamie Lee Curtis plays his mom, and she's amazing. Just amazing. So 100%, I recommend The Bear. If you guys have not seen it, check it out. Yeah, it's just so good. Anyway, going back to that, Ebon Moss-Bachrach, who plays a character in The Bear, kind of the best friend character. He's so good. And he's supposed to be really good in this, too.
Well, he'll Fantastic be obviously CGI'd for most of it. Cause yes. He does become the thing.
Yeah. Is it CGI or does he actually wear a costume?
It's most definitely CGI. Okay. And the other one that he's an upcoming actor, he's had a couple of decent roles lately, Joseph Quinn.
Yeah.
He was in Gladiator 2. He was in Quiet Place Day 1. Obviously got noticed for his role in Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see him as Johnny Storm.
He'll be Johnny Storm. Yeah, yeah. Now, there's some other movies here that I'm really, really looking forward to. One in particular. Now, actually, let's talk quickly about one that's already been released that's has somewhat mixed reviews from what I'm hearing. I haven't seen it yet personally, but 28 Years Later. You saw 28 Days Later, correct?
And 28 Weeks Later.
And then 28 Weeks Later. Have you seen either of those?
I saw the first one.
Okay, you haven't seen 28 Weeks Later, right? No. 28 Weeks Later is... I'll use the word vastly, but it's not that vastly different, but it is different than the first one in terms of how they shoot it, how they tell the story and stuff. But the story carries on. 28 Years Later is the newest one that just came out. I'm hearing mixed reviews. I have yet to see it myself, but from what I've heard, it's not as good as it leads on to be, from what I've heard.
Yeah, our friend Mikey went to go see it, and he said the first half of the movie is very much Danny Boyle-esque,
yeah,
but the second half of the movie kind of veers more towards kind of like the Hollywood washing of films. Okay. So
that's disappointing.
Yeah, and I love Danny Boyle. He's done a lot of great movies. Obviously, he's done the previous two to this one. He also did Slumdog Millionaire, which I love that movie. That's a really good one. And, you know, it has Aaron Taylor Johnson in it. He's made a name for himself over the years, too, with some of the roles that he has.
So let me get quickly, because we're running out of time, let me get into two movies specifically I'm really looking forward to. The first one is the new Naked Gun movie. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for it. It looks so funny. Liam Neeson is basically
Frank Drebin.
Drebin, thank you. Which is, he's the son of Leslie Nielsen's Frank Drebin from the original Naked Gun movies. Looks so funny. If you haven't seen the trailer for it, I suggest you go look at it up. It's really funny. The other one is Nobody 2. Have you seen the first Nobody with,
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk, thank you. Bob Odenkirk, by the way, also in The Bear. Anyways, Nobody 2. If you haven't seen Nobody, I highly recommend checking it out. It's an action movie, and it's like not at all what you expect. It just hits you. It's so good. Nobody 2 looks really good.
The other one that we have to talk about that's a sequel that's coming out to is Happy Gilmore 2.
Yes. This month.
By the end of this month, yeah.
I think soon, like within the next
July
27th,
I think.
Yeah.
25th.
25th.
But
Paul's got it marked on the calendar.
Yeah. I religiously watched the first one. I could quote every part of that movie.
I'm so worried I'm going to be disappointed with the second one, though. Yeah. That's my fear. The trailer makes it look terrible.
Here's the trick. It does. Here's the trick. Go into it expecting disappointment.
I can't. The first one's so good. Yeah. And I'm going to obviously rewatch the first one right before. Yeah. You have to.
I kind of hope they do something similar with like The Wedding Singer and do a sequel to The Wedding Singer. It'd be kind of interesting to see where they could go with that.
Well, as long as this movie doesn't make me eat pieces of crap for breakfast, I think it'll be okay. So,
lay by the bay.
Hopefully, nothing makes you eat pieces
things of
crap
out of clay.
For breakfast.
I do like that they brought a lot of the original cast back too.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks amazing. Yeah. It looks so good.
Yeah.
One other one, just quickly, another sequel coming out is Freakier Friday.
Oh, yeah,
with
right.
Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis again. Have you seen Freaky Friday, bro?
Yeah, a long time ago.
It's a teen movie. It's a teen
is,
movie.
Sure, yeah.
But
it was funny.
It looks really interesting, actually, as Lindsay Lohan, of course, is now a grown-up like us. She's no longer a teenager in those days. We'll see what happens in that.
She's cleaned up a lot, too, considering...
Yeah,
you know,
good for her.
Yeah,
good for her.
What she had gone through with alcoholism.
It is impressive, for sure, yeah.
And I'm most excited to check out Ballerina.
Yeah, and that's out right now. As far as it's coming
out
right now.
Yeah.
It's either out right now or coming out right now.
I'm so far behind. I am so far behind on my movie content. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Actually, it actually frustrates me.
I hear that.
There's not a lot I can do about it.
Well, and you like watching movies so much. The problem is you're so busy, right?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Gentlemen, that is all the time we have.
Really?
believe it or not, we are down to the wire. So
I don't want
to
go.
Unfortunately, we'll have to wait till next week to talk more about movies. Gentlemen, thank you so much for another amazing episode. Did you guys enjoy the episode?
Oh, we always do. I don't care what we're talking about. we're having a blast.
But hey, listen, if you folks want to talk to us and tell us what you want us to talk about in a future episode, make sure you reach out to us at all of our social medias. We're available everywhere at The Puckin' Pod, and of course you can find us on YouTube and of course on Rogers TV. So thank you guys so much for watching for The Puckin' Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys on the next one.